Okay, so I have had far too many questions for a channel that just barely covers Linux to questions about covering gaming on Linux, how to best run games that I've personally never even heard of running on Linux, and a software package called DXVK, which a lot of people were showing me running Overwatch on Linux at basically full performance on a lot of computers. And this had me interested, and my original plan was on my gaming rig to install a separate SSD for Linux and get that going, and that hasn't happened yet. But what has happened was Steam, actually, seems to be integrating this, or something along those lines. So instead of fumbling through all of the words myself, I've recruited the help of closer to an expert on this subject, Wendell from Level 1 Techs, whose name I do know how to say. I realize I said it poorly in another video, and that was just because I don't say things right in videos. I do know that it's Wendell. I know.
It's okay. I can't pronounce things either.
So
it's exciting.
What
it's
do
an
we
exciting
have?
Time for gaming.
Yeah. What do we have going on here?
So Steam has a compatibility tool built into it now called Proton. And it's kind of like all of the compatibility tools that we have on Linux kind of sort of all wrapped up in one. And so Valve, it turns out, as part of their Linux strategy, has been surreptitiously, I would say, participating in the community to try to get some of these compatibility layers a little bit further along for a little bit better compatibility. You know, they've offered the carrot, I think, of Steam on Linux and, you know, the Linux gaming platform that a lot of indie developers have super taken advantage of. But I think a lot of AAA developers sort of remain, let's say, uninterested in the platform. And it's really like, as a gamer, the gaming perspective on Linux the last couple of years is a completely different perspective than the graphics platform of Linux for the last couple of years from the perspective of a developer. So like on the developer side of things, we've gone from a less than optical, you know, sort of old gray beard setup that was sort of a holdover from, you know, old school networked mainframe systems to more and more modern graphics stacks. We have a usable open source video driver for modern AAA hardware from AMD, the AMD GPU drivers. Oh, those guys are trying. I mean, even Linus Torvalds even recognizes they're trying because they've submitted some patches that are, let's say, rough around the edges, but it's like, oh, they're trying. And so, you know, I feel like Linus Torvalds has given them a little bit of a pass, but also encouragement. So it's like, learn, this is how we do, you know, open source. It's not like things in the commercial world where you can band-aid stuff together. Things have to be like really
right.
Super awesome. So finally, the graphics system in Linux is coming up to parity with what gamers sort of expect on Windows. Although there is still a little bit of a performance penalty. It's been really interesting the last couple of years because AMD and NVIDIA are kind of leapfrogging one another. You know, NVIDIA still has the closed source binary driver, but right. When AMD GPU sort of became like usable with games like when BioShock Infinite was initially released on Linux, the AMD GPU driver performance was amazing. It was mind-blowing how good it was. You know, still not at parity with Windows, but it was just awesome. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, the NVIDIA binary driver was just a little bit better. And the recent NVIDIA update from just a couple of weeks ago, things have gotten just a little bit better again. And so it's like, I think some people are watching and sort of playing here. There are NVIDIA developers that are participating in the DXVK stuff. There was a 2-year-old bug that drove me insane with the NVIDIA driver, and they fixed it because of people using DXVK. And so, you know, kudos to the NVIDIA developers for, you know, fixing those bugs, which is, I mean, somebody's got to work on it. And so I don't know if that's an off-label project for NVIDIA or if there's something going on behind the scenes with deeper involvement. I'm not really sure, but I know that NVIDIA has sold a lot of graphics cards to Linux users, not for gaming, but for machine learning.
Right. I always find it funny, and this has been one of the things that people who, like, try to, I guess, say that Linux gaming on Linux would never happen in the first place, is everyone always complains about the supposed increasing overhead of running Windows on your system, but due to the fact that drivers haven't been fully up to snuff on Linux, you don't actually like get a trade-off there when it comes to gaming. Like you have less OS overhead, but then you're still not running full performance anyway. And so I imagine if there were a point where near parity somehow driver would release, like you might see really cool performance one day, but one day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, there have been a couple of instances where the performance on, you know, like Pharonix reported that a BioShock Infinite, during this whole leapfrogging thing, Pharonix reported better performance on BioShock Infinite on Linux versus Windows. And I was able to replicate that, but I was only able to replicate that because I figured out, I think, what it was. I can't say for sure, but when I ran the automated test suite with BioShock Infinite, the DirectX 11 DOF preset was not working correctly on the Windows side. It thought it was the DOF, but it was not.
Right.
And so it was just, it should have been straight up DX11 to whatever in the Linux native version. And then the graph sort of evened out. And I was like, oh, that's disappointing.
Glimmer of hope.
But yeah. But I mean, if we look at Linux architecturally in a lot of other ways, if we look at like the recent Threadripper benchmarks where Windows really just doesn't scale with a lot of cores.
Right.
And that's a little bit Windows, but that's not as much Windows as people think it is. And I'll show that soon. There are a lot of sort of like dead bodies scattered around on the Windows platform that perhaps should get some attention, that perhaps have not gotten attention. Whereas on Linux, it's a lot harder to hide a dead body. And so Linus Torvalds is like, no, we will not have this. We will have good architectural stuff. And so we're getting there.
Right.
But that's also why the progress is kind of slow on Linux, because it's like, well, if we're going to change the graphics subsystem, we damn well better have a graphics subsystem that's going to last 20 years.
Right.
That's basically what they're building.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. So as opposed to the, you know, duct tape and baling wire graphics stack that we have on Windows, which... Like, oh, I played this game too hard, and the driver crashed, and my screen turned black. Woo! That will not fly on Linux.
Yeah, that happens a lot even, or it used to happen a lot even just when rendering videos. Just so. You're using your hardware too much. Like the MacBook Pro with the i9. You're using too many of those cores. Too much of it.
Yeah. So, thanks, Windows.
So Valve has rolled out a beta build of the client that implements a lot more of these Proton features, basically a compatibility layer to natively launch Windows only games previously. It's framed as being something very easy. And I'm wondering how easy that is. And they have an interesting list of games that I think kind of encapsulates the impression of gaming on Linux in the first place, because you have really, really new games like Doom 2016, the VR version of Doom, which actually was very surprising to me. Nier Automata, no one knows how to say that word. I don't either. That one, Nier. And then Tekken 7, which came out like this year. But then you have Ultimate Doom, Doom 2 from the original Doom 2, and a bunch of just like scattered older games. And so you have this like very small list. I mean, it's a good list, and like I said, there are impressive games, but it's a fairly small list. It's not like suddenly they were just like, here's an entire back catalog we've already tested in advance, kind of like with the Xbox One backwards compatibility thing, where they were like launching with everything they could at first. You have very scattered in the decades of which games are out. And
that may not be enough.
Yeah, I...
Yeah, I think that if you're, you know, a hardcore Windows user and you're open source curious or Linux curious, and you dive, you know, head first, I think that what you experience I could understand how somebody might have a negative experience and have the whole thing sort of leave a sour taste in their mouth. And so I really do worry about that, because Valve is has a history of sort of sending things out sort of half-cocked. And so
right.
some have accused them of doing that with, you know, SteamOS. But again, from like there are some valid points to that criticism. You know, SteamOS was like really amazing, and it seemed like all these AAA studios were going to support Linux, and then it just kind of petered out. And, you know, is SteamOS still a thing? And if you try to install SteamOS now, it's sort of kind of unsupported in the version of Debian that it's based on, and hasn't been updated, and there's upstate, like the ups, but that's very small. That's like, it doesn't really understand how it is like a lot of that doesn't really understand how it is in the open source world. So we don't need SteamOS anymore because Ubuntu is at a point where it'll do everything that SteamOS did.
Right.
And a lot of other distros can run it as well. So I've tried this Steam thing on about 6 different machines, and about 4 of them have been fine. 2 of them have been less than fine. And the 2 that have been less than fine were more of the fringe distros.
Right.
Two of the machines were Ubuntu 16.04 and 18.04. Those were basically okay. And then 2 of the other distros were not, it was not as seamless of an experience as Ubuntu was, but it still wasn't a terrible experience.
Right.
And so I think if you're Linux curious, you can do this and not, you know, it can be really frustrating to, if you're a proficient computer user and then you start using something else and then it's like, I have no idea what's going on. And so we have a lot of resources to help you with that, but understand that that's sort of a transition. It's like, you know, you're going to learn some new skills. You're going to do some new stuff. You're going to learn how stuff works under the hood. You're going to learn a little bit about the magic of how your computer works, but it's not appliance and or console like. Somebody could build a console someday that will give you the console experience if this works really well, more so than Windows, I think.
Just not Valve in 2010.
Not Valve. Not Valve in 2010, not Valve in 2018.
And not Ouya or Atari, but...
Or, Atari, it's like... It's like, we're going to roll out Atari on Android. It's like, oh, no, what's happening? No. And there's still a lot of work to do on the graphics subsystem. I mean, the patches that are coming in hot and fast from AMD for the Linux kernel are still huge. I mean, FreeSync on Linux is still not exactly a thing. It is possible to do FreeSync. I've got it up and working with some patches, but it's not, again, for the uninitiated. It's coming. AMD's working real hard on it, but it's not here yet. And of course, you know, NVIDIA is not dumping an insane amount of resources into Linux support, but they are dumping some support into Linux, which is appreciated.
And good luck getting G-Sync support on Linux.
Yeah.
That would probably defeat the purpose.
Probably can get FreeSync working on it before.
Ooh. Now that would be cool.
If it were open source, that would be about a 5-minute patch.
Right. So for those completely unaware, this works essentially by, like, previously the limitation with trying to emulate or compatibilize Windows games on Linux was the issue of DirectX, which is pretty much limited exclusively to Windows for the most part. And the way that this is adapting it is actually translating DirectX to the new open API of Vulkan, which basically only one game ever natively used that I know of, which was Doom.
There are a couple of hidden Vulkan shaders in more popular titles, but that's maybe a story for another time. But Right. Yeah, Vulkan is supposed to be a cross-platform API, kind of like Java.
Which, the same issue happened with, as I joked, the original SteamOS and Steambox release. But they're putting this out there, and it looks like huge news, and I mean, it is. I mean, I was excited for it. There are big implications by this, but the limited games list alone kind of shows that this is almost like a call for help so much as an announcement of a release. It is, hey, we have made this huge milestone, but we're not releasing a new product. And I guess that comes from an understanding that most of the current, like, full-time Linux crowd is already going to be tinkerers and anything. That's the stereotype, at least. They're not people coming expecting a push-button solution yet.
Yeah. I would say that the one big difference here is that the way that Valve has done the Proton thing has been to say, here, we got it working with these games. But here are all the tools that you need to continue DIYing things. Here's everything on GitHub. Total transparency. You know, take it, run with it, do whatever. If you got a pull request, send the pull request. We will, you know, do some interesting stuff with it. And so we've got a thread on the Level 1 forum where a bunch of our users are getting together and testing stuff. Because you can enable Proton. You check the checkbox. Yes, I'm taking my life into my own hands. I'm willing to venture into uncharted territory. And you can use the Proton compatibility tool with other stuff on your system, other games and that sort of thing. And so there's a much longer, more exciting, perhaps, list of games on the level one forums about the people are trying, and then it's like, hey, this is working for me. It works great. And everything may work. Maybe there's like one or two things that don't really work, because I see like Witcher 3 is on our list, and I've played Witcher 3 on Linux, and it's basically okay, but there's one or two monsters that have these weird graphical glitches, and you can still play it, but it's sort of an odd situation. So maybe that's why Witcher 3 wasn't on the on the list from Valve. They're working on that. But the really exciting thing too here is that at the same time that Valve did this, they also sent a thing to game developers and publishers that were on Steam. And one of the thing, and I read it, and it was hilarious, but it's like, I'm a game developer on Steam and my game is on there. Does this mean I'm going to have to support those filthy Linux communists? And the response was like, no, it's cool. We're handling this for you. Gosh, don't freak out, you guys. Now, I am paraphrasing just a bit.
Right.
But I thought that was sort of fun that Valve was sending that around to game developers.
I mean, I guess that's better than risking like some big publishers panicking or something. But
the Witcher 2 people were like, "Oh God, what's happening?
Not again."
Yeah.
There were a couple cool notes that they have improved multi-threaded support compared to normal Wine with their Proton build. And then that they're actually supporting more and more controllers, which is something that Steam itself has been doing. I actually ran into an issue, I think it was 2016, with the original PlayStation 4 wireless controller adapter. It did not work with any games at all, pretty much, except for PlayStation Remote Play. And then like 6 months later, Steam actually integrated the proper PlayStation controller drivers into Steam itself, which meant that pretty much any game could use it. And that is something combined with ideally adapting things to Vulkan that actually get me excited, because that's showing a more universal cross-platform future that things could be in. And while in their Q&A or the FAQ at the bottom, they said that they have no plans to support Mac right now. For me, the goal would be like, if you're going to go that degree of cross-platform universal, to at least have that in mind so that it would be an easy translation, because that's where things get excited for me, is if you can make things to where you compile or like you build it once, you can pretty much translate it to everything, then no one gets left out. And I realize like Linux has always been the short end of the stick with gaming and stuff, but to me, if you could just have a game and everybody play it on individual platforms, that is a better future for me than just, hey, we've adapted this to Linux with some hammers and nails.
I think that the commercial interests are always going to be working against the Linux folks to some extent. I mean, if we look at what Microsoft was planning to do with the games for Windows, I mean, talk about somebody that doesn't understand your market or understand like how literally anything works. Like the games for Windows thing is just... It was so terrible. I mean, even now,
hey, rest in peace.
What's got the built-in game recording thing? Like whenever you start the thing, it's like, oh, we got the Xbox utilities. We can do the game recording. You know, it's still on certain combinations of hardware. Just having that running in the background causes your performance to suffer.
Right.
It's not as bad as it used to be, admittedly. And, you know, there have been a lot of improvements from Microsoft on that. But talk about not understanding your market and how stuff is put together. I mean, it's just a lot of people are tired of that. And, you know, maybe there would be something for that on Linux, but again, it sort of goes to the, can we make more money with this? And Linux puts control in the user's hands, and that is antithetical a lot of the time to commercial interests. I mean, there are games right now that Steam could enable support for that work fine, but that do not work simply because of DRM.
Right.
Because the facilities for DRM and spying on the user don't exist the same way that they do on Linux. And that is a serious problem for those game publishers. And so they don't want their stuff to be associated with Linux as a result of that, which perhaps is a bit short-sighted, and perhaps boycotting those types of publishers would not be unreasonable.
Right.
But I think that a lot of other companies are cautiously optimistic, but are perhaps a bit scared of past experiences and a bit scared because it has been kind of a fringe platform that requires more support than a payoff historically. But I don't think that's really true anymore. I don't think that's actually been true for a while. It's just the paranoia is still there.
Right. And see, I would like to think that as the frameworks develop for this, aside from the super strict and almost spying DRM issue, which is a huge deal, and I realize some publishers just won't let go, and to a degree it's getting worse because every publisher wants their,
Sony. Yeah.
And every publisher wants their own PC client now, you know, Uplay and Origin and Steam and Blizzard and whatever. But generally speaking, I would like to think that no longer would things need to be seen as separate platforms in the first place. Because I like with the architecture change for game consoles going to x86, while you can't just directly run the game on PC, we've seen a lot more PC ports than we would have gotten or we ever got in the previous generations. And there are some games like Nier, which is even on this compatibility list, that I honestly don't think we would have gotten on PC if not for that architecture change. And even if it's delayed, and even the ones that are launching, like Microsoft put out their Play Anywhere thing, which didn't seem to go very far with them, but they put out where they were going to launch games on PC, and then it was all in the Windows Store UWP versions. But a lot of those have started coming to Steam, too. Like, it may not be 100% cross-platform at launch. You know, you may launch and it not support Linux, but maybe once, like, if it's just a matter of, like, small amounts of adjusting to at least get the basis working, we may still have a transition period where we have a bunch of terrible ports. We've dealt with that on Windows anyway. It would still be, I mean, at least on par.
Terrible console ports.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it would at least be progress. And so I would like to be excited, even though I know initially, I mean, you have Ultimate Doom on this list. Like, do you really need dedicated compatibility layers to run Ultimate Doom when you could probably just software emulate that? And people have probably been doing that for 5 or 10 years already. Like,
good old games. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what good old games does.
Right.
A lot of this will be solved in hardware, too. I mean, I'm a big fan of the hardware extensions for virtualization, and even just, like, none of this is worth a headache. I'm just going to add a second graphics card to my system because it's worth it to me.
Right.
And run full-fat Windows as a VM. And the performance penalty, if you set it up right, and you know, it doesn't work perfectly on every set of hardware, but if you carefully choose your hardware and you carefully set it up, you're, in terms of performance penalty, it's negligible.
Right.
I mean, it's essentially zero. It's close to zero for the virtual machine route. And I think that in the future, when it's easier to virtualize graphics card resources at the hardware level, I think that it will be even closer to what you're describing, because it is just x86 in a console at this point, in the PS4 or the Xbox One. It is just x86 here, there, and yonder. The architecture differences are just enough to be annoying, but if you're the game developer, you can do some stuff and get it translated without a lot of headache. And ultimately, what does it hurt if your game is available on more and more and more platforms?
Right.
Nintendo has shown us with the Switch. I mean, you know, Nintendo did the DS and the dual screen DS, and that's where they really focused a lot of their stuff. But you know, I think somebody inside Nintendo was playing the long game. They were saying, I think portable gaming is the future. And I don't think consoles really make sense. You get the Wii and the Wii U, and so maybe the Wii with the interface is innovative, but it's not really going to sell consoles. You know, if we're Nintendo, we're going to innovate, we're going to do this. And so the DS did so well that it's like, we need the Switch. And then you can take it with you, or you can play in the living room. And so that is what Microsoft promised with their UWP thing, because you know they one of their demos was gaming on a Surface tablet, and I think the Surface tablet was streaming from like an Xbox or something.
Yeah.
Somebody was playing something, some real Twitch shooter on a. And I think people actually would be interested in that, but Microsoft failed to execute, and
multiple times
Nintendo did not. Yeah, and so a lot of people are like, oh, I could get into the Switch thing, the Breath of the Wild. I could play this on the morning commute.
Right.
I could do all this kind of stuff. Having this on Linux means that there's more opportunity for specialty hardware like that, too, because you can do a lot of things outside the box on Linux that is a lot harder to do on Windows and the licensing, and it's a little bit more locked down. And that's not universally true, but that's a little bit true. But one of the really interesting things about this Proton thing is that you could also run stuff in this emulation layer other than games. You can add other applications to it. Like Overwatch is a thing that you can run with Lutris. That's something that I demoed in one of my videos.
Right.
And it is mostly okay, but on some combinations of hardware, it hangs, software and hardware, it'll hang mysteriously. There's a couple threads about that on our forum that we're trying to help users with. And things like that still concern me, because I'm sure that Valve is on top of that for their game catalog.
Right.
But for the other platforms, I don't think that Blizzard is, even though now, like, Blizzard is so big that two or three people working on this wouldn't even be a blip on their human resources payroll.
Right.
And they're not, they don't seem to be doing it. So that is of some concern.
Yeah. I will say, just to redirect to your Gaming on Linux series and your Linus collab, your video about Looking Glass and things like that actually had me pretty interested in setting that up on my gaming rig, because the only reason it's running Windows is because it's just a dedicated gaming rig. The issue is I don't think my motherboard for my 8700K has 2x16 slots for a second graphics card. And so that was the only thing stopping me, and that was my only concern anyway. Like, my main rig, I can't even fit two graphics cards in because I use so many PCIe slots as is. But he has a really cool project where you can basically run... I'm going to butcher how I'm explaining this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You can basically run a virtualized version of Windows that uses its own dedicated hardware in your system and then see it on the same computer, like the two gamers, one CPU Docker kind of thing, but combined into one more so, yeah. And capture it pretty much without much performance benefit. And that is essentially what I always wanted to do in the inverse with Linux. Like, I spent so much time trying to figure out how to dedicate more hardware to my Linux virtual machines. And so if I just kind of flip that around, that's what we have. And so I am excited to eventually explore that once I have the PCIe bandwidth to do so, because 16 lanes on a chip.
But it turns out that that is also a way that you can run FreeSync with a using an NVIDIA graphics card as the render engine.
Ooh. That actually makes sense in a completely roundabout and irrelevant way, because that is how a lot of people use 60 hertz capture cards with their high refresh monitors, is they use the OBS preview because it syncs it to a 60 hertz preview to output it. And so it's basically the same workaround. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. You can render. It's like, I want to render it 150 FPS into this region of memory as opposed to the monitor. And so it'll just, you know, It'll copy 150 frames per second into that region of the monitor, and then you can just have your AMD card cherry pick from that same region of memory, and ta-da, FreeSync with NVIDIA. doing a thing on that soon, I hope. That might be another collab. I don't know. We'll see.
And before they adjust the driver to somehow block that or something.
Wouldn't be the first time. NVIDIA giveth, NVIDIA taketh away.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a problem, too, with the virtualization. NVIDIA is worried about enterprises buying believe it or not, a $1,000 1080 Ti is cheaper than the enterprise equivalent of that card.
Right.
And so NVIDIA is concerned about people using those higher-end gamer graphics cards in the enterprise, in enterprise scenarios, with things like virtual desktop infrastructure and these higher end Linux systems. And so that's one of the reasons why when you try to run an NVIDIA graphics card inside a virtual machine, the drivers actually specifically are written to look for that scenario, and the drivers will deliberately crash
of course
in that scenario to try to prevent you from using it inside a virtual machine. And it stopped, like, if you're using VMware, it stops you dead from being able to do that. And yeah, you can compile a custom kernel for VMware, because under the hood, VMware is a Linux kernel, so that's open source. You can compile a VMware kernel that's custom, but then VMware will not support you. And so that pretty well takes care of the enterprise customers that might be interested in running gaming hardware for their VDI. But as a casualty of war, the Linux users also have to endure the code 43 and the workarounds.
Yeah, I've been trying to look for Quadros for my editing rig, because I keep running out of VRAM when I'm rendering and editing. And they're so expensive to even, like, come close to matching performance. So I wouldn't blame them. But then that would be yet another GPU crisis of another market taking up all the gaming graphics cards. And NVIDIA somehow not making them all until the last 6 months before the new launch.
Or they were just, you know, I don't know. I got a 1070. I got a Founders Edition 1070 for $325 a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
And that was new in box, not minor. And it's like, you know, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm trying to hunt down a Titan V right now,
Oh, that'd be nice.
Especially the CEO edition, but that's kind of...
$3,000!
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so where can people find you to actually learn more about things that I'm not going to be able to teach them anytime soon?
Probably the best place to start is forum.level1text.com, because we've got a Linux channel and we've also got the Normie channel. And so, channel.
I also discovered your like personal channel today that I don't think I realized existed, where you were like doing office vlogs and stuff. And I was like, this is like my favorite content from tech YouTubers. I didn't know this existed.
Yeah, I haven't done one of those in a while. I probably should do more. We do stuff like that. We do on Patreon as like a behind the scenes thing
right
now. And there is a behind the scenes thing with FreeSync on NVIDIA graphics cards. Ooh. On there. But it's just a very, very slight preview. it's literally like 2 minutes of, oh my God, I can't believe this works. You don't have to have Linux. So it turns out that, I'll let you in on the secret, and that is DXGI, DirectX Graphics Interface. It's a Windows 10 thing, well, pretty much. But DXGI is a DirectX thing for capturing the desktop, so you can do game streaming and stuff like that.
Right.
NVIDIA has extensions for Steam. So Steam has a deal with NVIDIA, apparently, because, NVENC and NVENC Capture, NVENC Desktop Capture is a thing that you can do. And it works great. I don't know if it works with OBS the same way, but when Steam is doing game capture, it's using Quadro-specific extensions in the NVIDIA driver, and that's how it does game capture. But as me as a normal plebeian developer, unless I pretend to be Steam,
right,
which I don't want NVIDIA to lock down more than it already is, I can't use those API interfaces, but Steam can, but my program can't.
Right.
And so with DXGI, you can, from Windows to Windows, do that 150 frames per second frame buffer copy, and all of the machinery in Windows is built in. Like, in fact, if you run Windows 18.03 graphics, it's like graphics switcher thing.
Right.
Or you can choose like the high performance GPU or the low performance GPU. That comes from a DLL. If you patch that DLL so that it understands you got a slow desktop GPU and a fast desktop GPU, because right now it only understands iGPUs.
Right.
And then Windows does a lot better knowing which card to put what on. So you can have your game rendered with an NVIDIA card displayed on an AMD card, and Windows machinery, DirectX machinery behind the scenes, takes care of copying those frames from the NVIDIA card to the AMD card.
Right.
And as a result of doing that, you get FreeSync, even though the game was rendered by an NVIDIA graphics card. Yep. So you like, I'd use using an RX 460, which is an $80 graphics card,
right,
to get FreeSync at 100 and some FPS in PUBG.
Interesting.
At 1080p? I think it was 1080p.
Right.
As well as like 92 FPS, but still.
That's really cool. And that would be exciting for my CRT stuff to have actually running on a real GPU and then outputting via something with analog. That would be fun too. Cool. Well, go check out Wendell for more stuff like that. That just slightly over my head sometimes, but I try to keep up.
NVIDIA gaming, or NVIDIA. Steam Linux gaming is like a really exciting, fun thing that's happening in. It's exciting that Valve is dumping bathtubs of cash into it.
Yep.
I've called on them to do that. I was like, here NVIDIA, or here Steam, this is where you should, or Valve, this is, these people, give them lots of money and just let them do their thing. And it turns out somebody was paying attention, and that is actually what's happening.
Glad to see Steam's putting, or Valve is putting money into something, because they have not released much of anything lately, and that's been sad. That's a story for another day, though. So thank you for being on. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's been a lot of fun.
And links to all his stuff will be in the description below. Comment, like, subscribe, go check out Steam. Yeah. Bye.